B-Pod Studios.
You know, talking about joining the Eastern and Western Conference. Like, I can almost guarantee you there is not a scenario that they haven't had multiple meetings about.
Let's see what the good people are saying on our Twitter poll here, brought to you by Window Nation. Call 1-866-90NATION or visit windownation.com. Sam Wilson, what do people feel about the legitimacy of a pandemic-affected season champion?
Today we asked, will you consider the champions of these pandemic-affected seasons to be legit champs, yes or no? We have just under 1,900 votes so far. 81% are saying yes, they would be legit champs.
I applaud every one of those people that voted yes. Yeah, absolutely, they're legit. And I even hate the question, because I really feel, thank you, Sam, I really feel like we have waited and been so patient, and I think we've been good little boys and girls when it comes to waiting for sports. How do we have that great anticipation and then we finally get it and then go, yeah, it's not even legitimate? One guy pointed out to me on Twitter, it's more legitimate than ever, considering how much we've longed for this moment.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we're going to finally get our surf and turf and complain that this lobster's not big enough? No. We're going to say, oh, thank you, finally, I'm starving. And we're going to get that meal, man, and it's going to be succulent. It's going to be succulent. And all the butter and spoils that you want. And the NHL, their great plan that is in place makes it even more legitimate. Basically, you had a chance to make the playoffs. You're in this tournament. 24 teams. Okay, fine. Not only is it more legitimate because you're playing more games, but even your top four seeds, it's not like they're sitting back resting on their laurels. No, they're playing. They're even playing for seeding. So imagine you're one of those top four teams. You got to do even more work to win. It might even be harder to win the Stanley Cup this year.
Yeah, Chris Therrien was on the afternoon show yesterday and made some really good points about It could be a lot harder. Legitimacy, he said, forget it. This might be the hardest year to win a Stanley Cup.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because you're coming back from an unknown. You're talking totally about people or teams going in. Yeah, he said the Flyers might be able to carry their momentum or whatever, but you really have no momentum at all.
Yeah.
You're starting fresh. You know, do older guys have an advantage because they know how to cater to their body more than the younger guys who may have just been amping it up the whole time, or vice versa? Young guys going to be ready to go, and old guys, because this would normally be their pretty much off time.
Right.
You know, so he had a great point. He said, I think this year it's even harder to win a Stanley Cup than other years. So, hell yeah, it's legitimate.
I feel like it's a beggar can't be chooser type of atmosphere.
Yeah.
When you go, well, it's not even legitimate. We can fight over business. We can't fight over a pandemic. Really? Okay, cool. So those strike-shortened seasons, lockout-shortened seasons, the Spurs' first championship, it wasn't legitimate. So is it even really a dynasty? You know what I mean? Yeah, no, it's pretty damn legitimate. By the way, we're getting a question on Twitch here from my man, who is this? Old City? Is this Zach? He's just saying the trash can behind me looks like it's a 1960s wrap sofa. It's a random reference. Hold on a second.
Wrap sofa?
What am I missing? Sofas, like the grandma would have the plastic on the sofa.
For some reason, I went RAP, not WRAP, and I was like, wait, what? Am I missing something? Is there like a rap sofa?
You missed Wu-Tang's rap sofa? Oh, man, favorite album. Look at this. It's just the recycled trash can. That's all it is.
You grew up with that, didn't you? Not a wrap trash can, a wrap couch.
I didn't.
My grandma had one, yeah. It was terrible. Oh, on a hot summer day when your skin would stick to it. Oh, it was so painful.
Look, my grandmother lived to be 96, my grandfather's 99, right? I never saw plastic furniture. And I know, for whatever reason, people make that correlation with Italian Americans. Let me tell you, I don't appreciate it. But I'll say this much.
Because it's true.
My Aunt Ange never had the wrap. She was like my grandmother. I never saw plastic wrap furniture.
Doesn't mean everyone. I mean, Donna's parents, everything had plastic over.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'll say this. Are the Italian Americans more likely to spill something because of the red sauce?
They eat more.
The red wine?
The wine.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
My parents, stereotypical and unfair.
My parents had gold carpeting in the house where I grew up because they said they served beer at all the parties, and if it spilled, you didn't see it. So that's the Irish.
My father had us stomp grapes in the living room, so we had to have the plastic. Like, no, I never understood that. I know it was a thing.
Ugh,
and then there was also the thing where people couldn't afford the plastic sofa, literally just bought plastic and draped it over the sofa. That's ridiculous. You know what? One of my take that boomer. Not even, was it boomers that did it? I don't even know. Maybe it was the greatest generation. But it's how popular hardwood floors are now in houses and stuff.
You get to this beautiful house with an old rug in it. You pull it up and it's like, Would you look at that majestic floor underneath, protected all these years?
But the linoleum.
Oh, that was the worst.
Those are my favorites. Those are the people that go, like, the greatest got you moment in any generation is the, okay, we're weak. We're my generations are idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Your generation covered hardwood floors with linoleum. I'm like, they got a good point.
Oh, it was the worst one. It would, like, crack or break. You'd be like, well, I guess we have broken floors now.
Did you ever forget about broken floors? You drop one little droplet of water on that linoleum floor. You're on a
spread everywhere.
You're on a slip and slide all of a sudden. Broken foot, broken ankle, out of nowhere. Broken cranium, like that. Those things, man. Oh my goodness. I used to work in a place that had the linoleum floor by the pool. What kind of sick maniac?
Wow.
Puts that's, linoleum.
That's twisted.
Next to, like, it was like there was the pool, then there was the little tiles, you know what I'm talking about? Like the
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then in the office off the pool was the linoleum floor.
Psycho.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I saw my life flash before my eyes many times. It's where I was a swim teacher, as a matter of fact. Dangerous job. Let's get to our man, Warren. Coming up in a minute, we're going to talk to our friend, Devon Givens. What's going on, Warren?
Boys, how's all?
Oh, things are
how
good.
How you doing, Warren?
Getting closer to just sheer lunacy with sports. Got to ask you something, in particular about baseball. I'm never a guy who's going to back. I think they're all greedy. But this is one time, unless I'm mistaken, I'm reading between the lines wrong. They made an agreement, the owners, with the players. The players already said, and it was signed, that they agreed that they should not get paid for any game they don't play. Mm. They'll knock 162nd off their salary. I don't understand how the owners can come back after agreeing to this. I would think it's illegal. Don't you have a case in court if you go, now we're agreeing to what they said. Now we have to enforce it. Is there something I'm missing? Because
yeah,
it's the owners, these guys, as much as we complain about TV revenue, I'm sorry, about baseball's a dead game, these guys, their franchise has gone up more in the last 5 years. TV deals gone up more in the last 5 years than ever. So even if we think it's dying, how can they, as owners of the team, say to the players, I know what we said, we put it in writing, too bad?
Yes, there is one thing that we're missing here. And the one thing is that basically in the contract, as Jamie mentioned earlier, there's a right to revisit. And I don't see how you can even entertain that in a pandemic, because they're saying it's that fluid situation where things can change. But if you're the owners, if you're some great businessman, then how do you not do better math?
Like, oh, that's like, what I'm saying.
Yeah.
These guys have built their fortunes on being smart or having smart people talk to them and tell them what to do. These are players. I'm not saying they're stupid. These are guys who just come out, they play ball. And I'm telling you, I've never stuck up for the players. I think both sides are pigs. But in this case, these players, if you decide to sell your franchise, it's not worth less this year than it was last year. It's still worth more. So anything you're saying about, it's not the player's fault, you're not going to have hot dogs and pretzels or any merchandise hardly selling, it's not part of their problem. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. And honestly, if they do this, I got to tell you, baseball, it's not hockey, it's not basketball, it's not football. You can't have a 30-40 game baseball season. That's fraudulent as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'll tell you this much. As far as a legitimacy goes there, I would definitely question legitimacy, but I will say this. That'd be an exciting baseball season.
I hear you. Let me ask something. If I'm not mistaken, if this works out, all four sports would be playing at the same time at some point.
Yeah, probably December. Oh, no, yeah. Hockey would probably be done.
Well, September, right?
Yeah, it's hockey. I still don't think the playoff hockey is going
to
be going.
If basketball continues. Yeah, September. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think it's going to be as nuts as it gets. You guys are going to have, you guys won't even know what to do in the morning. You're going to, what do we do today?
It'll be a good problem, Warren.
Yeah, I welcome that.
Great problem. Looking forward to it. As far as legitimacy, listen, as much as I'll complain, I don't think it's the same. What are they going to do in the end? They're going to jump and hug each other. I still will take as a championship. People can put asterisks next to, just like they did, you know, with Roger Maris and stuff like that. But I'm taking that championship. We have it coming.
1,000%, Warren. Thanks for the call. And I feel like it's one of those things just thrown out there as a hot take. And I really want to try to do everything I can to nullify that stupid take. I think it's just dumb. to say it's not legitimate? Like, what do you want? Are you serious?
And it'll be a wave of people who will say, so now the majority will say, no, it's legitimate because we're far away. We're craving sports. You know, you have a team that might have a chance. Then when you get into the playoffs, it'll grow to, now it's 80% we are, it'll grow to almost 100%. Damn straight this is legitimate. Right. Then when your team's out, this isn't legitimate. So it'll go down like 60%.
It's only illegitimate in hockey if the Penguins win. That's the only way it's illegitimate.
Yeah, right?
And in basketball, if the Celtics were to beat the Sixers in the first round or whatever playoff happens, then it's just, it totally doesn't count. This is all stupid. But no, in all serious, I don't get it. I just don't see how, I don't see at all the other side of the argument. Like a lot of times before I'll choose a side, I'll go, well, I can kind of see if I got to argue the other side of this, I can see how that would, there's no other side to this. I don't get it even a little bit as how you can look at it and go, well, it's not even legitimate. Like hell it's not. You are listening to 975 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting through the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today for at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. On the line with us right now, our good friend from 975 The Fanatic, Devon Givens, joins us. Good morning, Devon.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing well, man. How are you making out in all this madness?
I'm making out, man. Able to make it into work safely. Kids are good, so you know I don't need to go outside, so I'm good. Other than getting to the station and doing the stuff family wise, I'm good.
All right, well, I'm just gonna let you know I'm doing my part as a host here. I'm wiping down everything when I'm done, just to be extra safe. All right.
Yes, you just got back. We've been doing that for a few weeks now. Make sure you do that.
Absolutely, it's gonna be like I was never here. I've been waiting to ask you this question since I texted you last night, my friend. And here you go. And I didn't want to ask you this ahead of time because I wanted your real answer. Is it a motivating factor at all for the NBA that the NHL has already came out to announce even a little bit of a plan to resume their season? Does that motivate the NBA to get something together sooner, or are they operating 100% independently?
I don't think that that's a motivating factor. While they've had those meetings together, all of the commissioners trying to come up with a plan, what's best for all of them to get back to the field of play, I think the NBA just marches to their own drum. Adam Silver has not done anything wrong in a lot of people's eyes since he stepped into that commissioner role, since taking over for David Stern, and since March 11th when he decided to shut the NBA down and everyone else followed suit. Since then, even with the conversations, I think they've done things on their own. Now, if you want to say the NBA and the NBAPA, that's a totally different factor. But in terms of the NHL getting out their plan first, putting it out there, the NBA has had multiple scenarios out there. They just haven't decided to announce one as of yet. So we'll see when they do it. To answer your question again, no, I don't think it's a motivating factor.
All right. The one thing that scares me about a faster return to play, because we all want that as soon as humanly possible. One thing that scares me is that the NHL might have thrown a wrench into all this, and that wrench could be more teams. The NHL has 24 teams. They have two cities that are going to be host cities. We don't know which ones they are yet, obviously. But the NHL has now gone from saying 16-team tournament, which I'm glad I hopefully won't have to say anymore because it's really tough, or a 20 to 24-team tournament. If they do that with more teams, do they have to bring in a second city?
Well, I guess it depends on how big the Wild World of Sports is in Disney. And everybody knows that's a large campus down there. So the way they've been talking about it, throwing out the different scenarios, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because I don't know personally how many basketball courts they are able to get those guys on, how many they are able to house within the resorts that are there, especially if they're having the conversations as well, as has been reported, as to who the family members slash friends are going to be able to be on that campus with the players as well. So that's a question mark that right now I don't know, but I would think that if they did anything, they would still try their best to keep it where they stay in the one location.
Devon, Brett Brown on his Zoom call a couple of weeks ago was talking about how he's really sitting back, assuming that they're going to play the Celtics in the playoffs when it starts up, and really analyzing the team and different things that they've done, that they did throughout the regular season. What do you think is the biggest thing that Brett Brown has to change in this team to make them better and maybe have a good playoff run?
Well, that's a great question. I think he, number one, needs to figure out what he's going to do with Al Horford. Is Al Horford going to be part of the starting unit, or is he going to anchor that second unit for the 76ers? As we know, starting with the Clippers game before the All-Star break, and thereafter, Al Horford was supposed to ride the bench, at least as the sixth man, coming off and spelling Joel Embiid. But once Ben Simmons was injured with his back, things changed. So I think you have to figure that out. And then secondly, find out where his two stars lie with their health and their conditioning coming back after being off for so long, Ben Simmons with the back and Embiid with just the ongoing things that he has as well. But in terms of the team on the floor and once they start to bounce the ball, it's also figuring out what they're going to do with how the offense is going to run. We know it starts and ends, and you've been covering it, so it's been the same since Joel Embiid has been here. It starts with feeding the big man on the low block and getting him going first. And then you have to figure out also how you're going to incorporate Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, and Josh Richardson. And then, again, make sure that Al Horford is not just a big man out there making passes, that he is also incorporated into the offense in some way where it's free-flowing, but Joel Embiid still gets his touches.
Can they come back a much better team, Devon? Like, can Brett design something? Can he figure that out? Do they have, now that you have, you know, different guys coming off the bench that you acquired late in Alec Burks and Robinson III, can they be a much better team coming back?
Well, if you listen to Brown and Brand, they say yes, right?
What do you say? I don't care what they say. I care what you say, Devon.
Yeah.
I think there will be, if the first round matchup, 1-8 East or 1-16, and they're the 5-12, Boston 5-6-12, and they play them either way, I still think because they play Boston well that it will be a long series if they do, in fact, have a 7-game series. I think they can make noise in that first round. The question would be the rounds thereafter, which has been their problem the past two playoffs. So I think they can figure it out that way, Bob. But I'm just, if you, again, listening to Brown during that Zoom call that he had with the media, speaking about how he has looked back to things in the past where he started to go over things and go through all these different videos and try to figure out exactly, if he can't come up with something within the 2.5 months, 3 months that they've been off to figure out his way of using this team effectively and win series, since they continue to tell us that they are built for the playoffs, then there seems to be not just a problem maybe with him as a coach and his coaching staff, but also with the rosters that they'll have to figure out. So I think they can make noise in round one. The question thereafter still remains.
Speaking with Devon Gibbons, our own Devon Gibbons here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon, the other part of this has to go with that starting lineup. And if not even the starting lineup, expanded to the bench a little bit. Al Horford on the bench, Shake Milton off the bench. How does this work when you put it all together?
Well, I wanted to see, when Shake Milton was performing the way that he was before the season was put on pause, I wanted to see, once Ben Simmons returned, Shake Milton on the floor with Richardson, Simmons, Harris, and Embiid, since they had already committed to Horford coming off the bench as the sixth man. Mm-hmm. Because he was playing at a very, very nice pace out there, very under control, understood what they were asking of him, and he had that ability to, as we talk about somebody who can break down the defense and get his own, we saw in that Clippers game, not so much in the Lakers game because they devised the defense the way they did against them, but the other games thereafter, where he looked very comfortable, Mark, within the flow of that offense with the ball in his hands. Also with the ball being as that catch-and-shoot guy that we knew that we saw from a year ago, when he had some spot minutes and he had some glimpses and showing us some things that he could do as a guard shooting for this basketball team. I kind of want to see if Shake Milton can handle that. My only drawback with that is the fact that it is the playoffs, not playing in the postseason last season, not having that experience on the floor and going that route. We know they like to go Glenn Robinson also, and maybe it also, Mark, depends on the matchup with the Boston Celtics. Does Glenn Robinson III as another wing defender make more sense against Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and, of course, Jason Tatum, where you have Shake Milton coming off the bench, even though he would be probably paired up with Marcus Smart? I wonder if it makes more sense that way. But if I had my choice right now, I would still lean towards Shake Milton, Al Horford coming off the bench.
Yeah, to me, I know it's weird, but that just sounds like spacing to me. It sounds like there's a lot. Like, I was getting jealous, and I'm not saying that they absolutely need to run a triangle offense, but watching Last Dance, I'm watching that offense, and I do love that offense. I'm a dork when it comes to that offense. I love it. But one thing the Sixers have been lacking in this whole time is proper spacing, and that's because they don't have that traditional point guard. I'm not saying trade Ben Simmons. I'm not saying Ben and Joe can't play together. I'm just saying if you do have a more traditional point guard, maybe you open things up more.
Well, actually, I don't think Shake Milton is a traditional point guard. I think he's a combo guard out there.
Yeah, but he can play that point position.
Yeah,
I think
he can.
Okay, yeah.
He can. I think it's a lot of, number one, what we just talked about with the idea of having someone who can break down the defense when the shot clock maybe is winding down, the offense gets a little bungled, and you have to go out there and get creative. We've seen that he can do that, especially when he has that confidence. Also, the catch and shoot ability, while Al Horford can shoot from the perimeter, we don't want to see 5 3-point attempts from Al Horford from distance. The same thing with the pick and roll matchups. Now we're talking about having Josh Richardson, who's able to run pick and roll, Ben Simmons, Shake Milton, and Tobias Harris, and also have the ability of Ben Simmons be that screener and that role man to be able to make a decision not only for himself, but also for the rest of his teammates. So I like that dynamic as well, Mark, with, as you point out, with Shake being someone who could also run the point with Simmons, mm-hmm. but also having the different varieties of the way that they can run the offense with the pick and rolls, different guys setting those screens, Ben not being someone stuck along the baseline, but also being able to be a screen man for Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson, or even Shake Milton in that regard.
I say this at the risk of sounding like I'm belittling Ben Simmons, and that's not all my intention, but Shake Milton, I feel like, is someone on the floor for Ben that he can, A, pass to, who can score, and also defer to run the offense.
Sure. Okay. I agree with that. All right. Yeah, I agree with that as well. Yep.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Devon, schematically, do you think Brett has it in him to come out? Like some of the things you just said, and you and I have talked about this endlessly, I would love to see Ben Simmons in a pick and roll. I would love to see different things. I would love to see a high-low game with Al Horford and Joel Embiid. Something different, something we haven't seen. Do you think Brett has that in him schematically to come out, I don't know, say first game we see him, we're like, oh my God, this looks a lot different. Do you think he'll do that offensively?
Yeah, I think he will. I don't think he holds anything back because, number one, we all know about Boston round 2 and 18, and of course Toronto in round 2 and 19, and this is where we are. Even though this is a unique situation with the shutdown because of the pandemic, at the end of the day, if they don't advance a little bit further than they have in the past couple of years, he may be looking for new employment. And if that is the case, he has to leave everything out on the floor, Bob. He cannot hold anything back. He has to get as creative as possible with his offense, with the talented players that Elton Brand has put on this team to allow him to do the things that he does, to get those 50-plus wins, to advance in the second round, to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and possibly the NBA Finals. He cannot leave that up to chance. He has to go out there, game number one, 7-game series, try to wipe out the Boston Celtics as quick as possible, and then adjust to whatever the next round may present you. But game number one against the Celtics in the playoffs, leave it all out there on the floor. Give different looks. The high-low game, as you pointed out, that was something, Bob, you and I talked about when the signing initially happened.
Yeah.
That Al Horford, with his passing, is going to help not only Joel Embiid, but mostly Ben Simmons being able to see over the top of the defense at Horford at 6'10", delivering the ball to Ben Simmons, as athletic as he is, to either finish at the rim with a dunk or catch and finish over top of the defender right there with a layup because he's ambidextrous and can shoot with either hand or jump hook over either shoulder. We haven't seen much of it, so he has to incorporate all of that within the offense, and I would have to think that that's in the playbook for the 76ers once they get back out there.
Last thing for you, Devon. Have you ever sat on a plastic-covered piece of furniture?
I have.
Have you ever done it on a hot day?
Yes, I have.
Worst moment of your life?
It's not one that you want to retry.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I got a final question.
No.
We were talking. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But what the hell's up with you and Pop-Tarts?
Yeah.
Me and Pop-Tarts. Liked them as a kid. Bailed on them early teens.
Come on, Devon. Don't be a quitter.
I got away from them. No.
Dude, you are the one person I can honestly say didn't have a chink in the armor. That's how solid of a person I look at you as, and now you have a chink in the armor.
A lot of questions.
And it's crazy because the kids, they still like them. They go with the basics, the strawberry frosted, the maple brown and sugar, whatever it is.
Brown cinnamon sugar.
Yeah, brown cinnamon sugar. They like those, and I still can't get into it. When I was a kid, yeah, I was in on it, take them to school, leave, running late, get on your way to school, you have them ready to go, warm them up, straight out of the wrapping, whatever it may be. But then at some point, I stopped liking it. The same thing with eggs.
Crazy.
It just happened.
Eggs. What's the incredible edible eggs?
Don't start that one.
I knew you had food issues before. I remember food issues before. But the Pop-Tart thing is just bomb. Have you enjoyed a s'more Pop-Tart?
No.
Okay. Well, just treat yourself every once in a while to a fine s'more. Now, I will put it in a specialty class. It should not be in the same bracket as the strawberry Pop-Tart, for instance, with the icing. That's like the OG. But as far as the specialty Pop-Tart goes, try yourself a s'more every once in a while.
No.
Devon, great catching up, buddy. Thanks so much.
Hey, good to hear from you guys. Take care.
Thanks, Devon.
I'm back at you, man. Our own Devon Givens right here on 97.5 Fanatic.
The egg stuff, man. I get it. They're a little gross looking, but they're delicious.
I love, like, eggs are just great.
I made that pizza a couple weeks ago with the egg on it.
Oh, yeah,
and people were telling me, I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to do this. Eggs are disgusting. And I was just like, all of your opinions are invalid.
Yeah.
I like eggs. I didn't like the way you presented it on the pizza the other day. I don't like that. But
it was a sunny side up egg. What's the problem?
I love sunny side up eggs.
So what's the problem?
I don't want them on my pizza.
Pizza dough is just bread, Bob.
Yeah,
what's wrong with a pork roll, egg, together, and cheese?
You're
and
right.
Bread
I should
sandwich.
Give it more of a chance.
I'm just telling you, a breakfast pizza will blow your mind.
You know what I did for the first time, like during the pandemic.
What's that?
I did the like a couple weeks ago. I did the toe in the hole. Is that what it's called? The egg and the toast.
Oh yeah, that's a British thing. Yeah,
is it really?
I think
you put a hole in the bread. And
I do that sometimes. It's great.
Inside. Game changer.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, game changer.
Oh my God! Because picture this.
You don't have to sop the bread up. It's just there.
You don't have to sop the bread up. And the other thing is, think about this. You have your own little container.
Mm-hmm.
So you could use...
It's walled up.
It's walled up.
Your plate is safe.
So let's say this. Let's say you're cooking for you got your in-laws at the house. You got Bob like you. You got like 15 kids. All of a sudden, what should you get? Boom. Breakfast right there on the hot plate kind of deal. On the flat surface. You could do like 4 breakfasts right there. Boom.
And then you get to eat the bread in the meantime. So you get a little snack while you're cooking.
Absolutely. It's a little Dunkaroo for eggs. It's
good
wonderful.
Times.
way late. My apologies. Time at the Fanatic is 9:26.
Fanatic Sports Update.
NBA moving forward. I'm Sam Wilson, and this Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Live Heat from PGW. There's money available to help cover your PGW gas bill, but you have to apply to get it. Text the word WARM to 75308. PGW, energy for us all. The NBA and their Players Association are currently in discussion about allowing limited family members to join the players when they head to Orlando to resume their season. Family members most likely won't be able to join the players until after the first round of eliminations and will be subject to the same health and safety protocols as teams. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver is set to speak with general managers later today and the Board of Governors tomorrow afternoon. The NBA also announced yesterday that they have given clearance to all international players to return to the U.S. Players will be able to travel back to the States immediately, regardless of existing travel restrictions. For more news on the current sports shutdown, keep it locked in right here to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Sam Wilson on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's Barzetta in the Morning with Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Get your Wawa order faster and save time with mobile ordering on the Wawa app. Browse our menu of hoagies and salads made your way. Soups, sides, handcrafted lattes, and more. Just order and prepay in the app, then pick up and go. You can even pick a time. From morning to late night, we're here to make it easier to get your Wawa favorites. Order ahead on the Wawa app today. Gotta have a Wawa. At Wawa, we're focused on making your shopping experience as safe as possible. We have new safety measures like counter shields, social distancing markers, masks, and temperature checks for every associate. We also created the Wawa Clean Force, a highly trained staff dedicated to keeping our stores safe through industry-leading sanitation. This is our new routine, so you can get back to yours. So stop in, order ahead, or get it delivered. Wawa has you covered.
While you can't believe everything on social media these days, you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Instead of waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal, take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
I'm Mina Kimes, host of ESPN Daily. Each morning, we bring you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. It's the best of ESPN Daily. ESPN Daily is presented by Marathon. Right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon every day with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. It's quick and easy to join. Just download the free Make It Count app or go to makeitcount.com/radio and start saving today. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
I've always wanted to learn another language, so I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and soon you're putting words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. I can't wait to use my Spanish skills in real life. Dos cervezas, por favor.
Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app. That's Babbel.com.
One of our great sponsors and friends of the station, Family and Company Jewelers, is happy to announce that they are now open for curbside pickup, consultation, sales, and consignments at their showroom on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. Follow them on social media or visit FamilyJewelers.com for hours and additional information. Stay safe, but don't make love wait. Curbside service is now available from Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
Things feeling a little lame around the house? With a Mega Millions jackpot win of $336 million, you can turn drab into the dream home you've always wanted. Take a chance with the New Jersey Lottery, because after all, anything can happen in Jersey.
The Fanatic is live and local, helping to keep the community connected. Here's what you need to know. Got an electrical or HVAC problem in your home that you've been ignoring because you're not sure about letting a technician into your home? Rainer Services in South Jersey is owned by former nurse Carrie Rainer. She herself trained her service techs on safety and sanitizing protocol. For safe electrical or HVAC service you can really trust, visit RainerServices.com. Let us help you stay connected. Email us at family@975thefanatic.com. The Fanatic family, keeping us together while we're apart. 97.5 The Fanatic is an equal opportunity employer and is dedicated to performing broad outreach to fill job vacancies at the station. We seek the help of local community organizations in referring qualified applicants to our station. Community organizations that wish to receive our job posting should contact the Fanatic's business office by calling 610-771-9750. We also encourage listeners to visit bbgi.com, where you'll find an online listing of job openings at Beasley Media Group, LLC.
Marzetta in the morning. Now.
On 97.5, The Fanatic.
Just got another ad for another rug. Buy another rug. I already bought the rug. I don't need 10, a million more ads on buying another rug. I'm good.
How many rugs have you bought now?
One rug, Bob.
Oh, I thought you said you just bought another one.
No, you know what it might be?
Maybe they got to you and you gave up.
My wife, because I told you, this couple brought a water table over the house for the kids to play on, right?
Yeah.
And that's fine. And
is it still at the house?
No, they picked it up the other day, actually. Oh. Yeah.
Did you take it apart and give it back to them?
No, they got the big SUV. And they just...
I would have taken it apart anyway.
As much as I enjoy working with my hands, I
do. Dude, I put together a water table 2 weeks ago. 37 steps. I was like, this is a big box. I guess I just snapped the legs together and I'm good to party.
People don't know the backstory here, do they?
No.
We need to revisit this. I'll do it. I know you don't want to.
But yeah, I pulled it out and I was like, wait, there's 36 steps to this water table? What the hell?
I believe it's pronounced water table.
Water table.
So you had to put it together, though. And it's not your water table.
No. And that, like, I love that stuff. So I, whatever. But this, like, we have a play date for Little Toots, right?
She, uh-huh.
Her friend comes over and they play. And their
Skylar's beginning to talk. She hasn't been offered a play date yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's, it was starting to say that, Emanuela. I don't like the cut of her gib. And I'm like, Skylar, you have every right to. She hasn't even invited you out for a play date.
Hey. Did she get a birthday card for my daughter?
She did.
And my daughters are writing in cursive. What's your daughter? No. So they bring, now it's just the wives that are setting this up. Just the ladies. And I'm at the house. And the other dad was going to go golfing later that day, so he wasn't over. And they said they're going to bring the water table over. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Now, if you don't know what a water table is, right, it's basically a table that you could put water in. It's like a little water park on legs.
Uh-huh.
And the kids can splash around, and like there's a little frog on a lever that you can like flip up in the air and whatever. It's fun for kids. Little like
makes a little mess, I would imagine.
The parents aren't supposed to have a blast with it, too, because I was in the middle of mine.
We filled ours up with beer the second the kids were done with it. But so they bring the water table over, and I'm looking at it, and it's still in the box. And it's just the wives, and they go, here's the water table, and then they take the kids, and they go play. And I'm looking at the box, and I'm going, do I got to put this together? And I'm like, I'm sure most of it's together if they're bringing it over, so I'll open it up. But, like, the tape was still on, like it just left the factory.
Oh, no.
And I open it up, I'm like, oh, my God, everything's still in the plastic. Like, I literally have to build this from scratch. And I enjoy that, but I just thought it was interesting. And I ended up putting the whole thing together. And the kids played on, and they had a wonderful time. So that there you go.
And then how many days later did they come and take back their water table?
Maybe about 3 or 4 days later.
I would have taken it apart and put it back in the box. I swear to God, I would have.
No, because you're literally screwing it together. It's not a snap type of thing, as Jamie mentioned. It's a, let me get my power.
Yeah, through. Taking it apart is another 35 minutes.
I would have done it. I swear you would have had to catch me in a real good mood not to have done that.
Really?
I hate putting. I would have been.
Oh
pissed.
Yeah, you hate that stuff.
I would have to call somebody.
I at least enjoy the work and the instant gratification of putting something together.
But you had to have a slanted eye when you were like.
I just thought it was weird that it's like here we are and put this together.
Yeah,
and it's just that's odd.
That's like somebody inviting you over, say, hey, you want to come over and play some pool? Sure. You go over and they're like, where's the pool table? Like, why didn't you bring a pool table?
You put it together, we'll go play.
Yeah, that was odd.
And they're great people, not for now. They're friends of ours now. And they
were before this conversation.
No, they're awesome. And it's just, I thought it was interesting. No, but they did go by and pick up their table. They didn't have to put it, they'll break it down because they have the big car. But I will say this, when you're literally screwing things through a plastic leg to a table, that it, they tell you to use a hand, like a Phillips head screwdriver.
Yeah, that's what I did.
And I'm like, no. Because whatever
you
I can
gotta
do,
use your drill.
You got to use the drill because expedite the process.
Just wanted to put on the tool belt and have some sexy time with the missus.
I totally put on the tool belt for this.
Yeah.
There's one tool. Put the tool belt on. That way you have a little pouch to put all the nuts and bolts in.
Yeah, they come over. You're totally nude in the backyard with a tool belt on. You're like, oh, I didn't expect you guys this early.
Welcome to Thunderdome. This is how we do things here. DeWalt.
Did you see my outside shower and the sex swing in the basement?
And the water table I put together?
You know what's funny about this?
I did that with my hands.
So I put the whole thing together, and the kids are playing, and here's the deal. It's hose water, right?
Yeah.
So it's cold.
Well, see, we don't have a hose, so I did the warm water from inside in the flowering bucket. And
you got in trouble for cold water.
Little Toots is like shivering.
You hate your children.
And Little Toots...
It's messed up, Mark.
Well, I'm like, when you say water table, I'm thinking waterboarding. And I'm like, what are they, witnesses or something? I don't have information, right? What am I interrogating?
Send Little Toots to Guantanamo. She knows.
She cracks under pressure. So Toots looks at me. Well, she looks at Little Toots first. And Little Toots has like got a little teeth, her little, like one tooth is shattering, right?
One tooth is shattering.
And she looks at me. She goes, hey, babe, the next time you do this, maybe let's just put some warm water in there. And I look at her like, it's an outdoor table. It's going to be... And she looks back at me, and I'm like, what temperature would you like the water to be at next time?
Wait, was this Toots who said it, or was this the wife of the guy who didn't put the table together?
No, this is my Toots. Oh, okay. Toots said it, yeah.
All right. I thought it was might have been that.
So she's like, maybe we'll just take it from the kitchen sink and funnel it out the window into the backyard for a nice temperature.
Well, you fill it up.
I was like, yeah, I'll build you an aqueduct.
Halfway,
right?
Halfway you fill it up with the hose, Mark, and then the other half you have to run in and out of the house from the tap water.
I filled up two pitchers of water with like hot water, and I brought it outside and poured it in the water table. And I you know what? I improvised, Bobby.
Yep.
I improvised is what I did.
That wasn't a fun play date for you, it doesn't sound like.
I was drinking. That was fun. I was probably, they were drinking White Claws, and I was having my typical Jack Daniels. Which, by the way, just to clear their good name, they picked up for me because they have roots in Delaware. And they were like, hey, we're at the store. Do you need anything? See, they're great people. Bada boom, bada bing, full story.
Did you know there's a Turtle Wine in Cherry Hill? News to me yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Like this past week.
I did know that.
Yeah.
There's the canals, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's the Total Wines.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got all that Total Wine.
Bob's like, yeah, they know me.
Yeah. We got in the foreign land of New Jersey.
Okay, speaking of knowing people, this Nick Foles story is incredible. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, this is pretty nuts.
I want to say I don't believe you. Do we have the audio of this, Jamie?
Yes.
Nick Foles apparently went out and about right after they won the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
He was telling the story on his new podcast that he does with Chris Maragos.
I assume it's religious-based.
It's religious tendencies.
Yes.
All right? But apparently, he was like undercover in Philadelphia.
It's good to know Chris Maragos is alive. He just kind of disappeared from Philadelphia and his eagledom weird situation.
And my twin brother, Chris Maragos, he's fine. All right?
He has me blocked on Twitter. I have no idea why. Yeah, it's not very Jesus-like.
I will think my thoughts.
It's a little rude.
Apparently, everyone's forgiven, except you.
I have no Jesus idea why. He blocked Jamie.
No, you probably did hit the one nerve you can't talk about, which is his injury.
Maybe.
Probably.
No. But that means he's searching himself.
So, it's possible.
Which is a little vain, Chris. Maybe you shouldn't do that in the Lord's eyes.
The Lord would frown upon you.
Don't you religion shame.
I'm not religion.
You're Jesus shaming.
I just don't think it's very godlike to block people on Twitter.
You're saying, what would Jesus do? And then you're ignoring the answer.
He wouldn't block people, I'll tell you that.
So
he might.
All right.
He'd sit them down and talk.
So Nick Foles is undercover. Apparently he went out in the town. I'll let you hear the story from Nick Foles himself. Here's Nick on that podcast.
We go down the highway and we're like, how are we going to do this? We take a side street. We get a couple streets over from where Del Frisco's is, where Broad is. We find a parking lot and we park and we're like, we'll just walk. So I think it was my brother-in-law was with me, Ryan, and I put my hoodie on and my beanie and I'm walking through the crowd. Not on Broad Street, off of Broad Street, a couple side streets. I'm walking right next to people wearing my jerseys after we just won the NFC Championship game.
So you're incognito.
Incognito. Like they, and what's crazy is,
it's you.
And you know what? Like looking back, because the underdog was the theme and everyone was wearing dog masks. I should have just got a dog mask. I was not thinking.
Exactly.
But anyway, we made it there. No one recognized us. And we went down in their little bunker area where there, I guess there was a table reserved. And I just got to sit there with probably like a dozen or more friends and family and loved ones. And just, I remember a moment where I'm sitting there. I'm having a glass of wine. And I just took a moment and just sort of embraced it. And just like, I can't believe what just happened. I can't believe that God's allowing me just to sit here and be with my family and loved ones that have been there with me. And then, you know, having that moment, just that moment that night was really, really special.
And now, Chris, go forgive Jamie Lynch. That's what he said at the end of that podcast. We edited that out because we wanted to be too self-serving. But like what? He was just able to like walk around Broad Street?
That's pretty cool. That was a cold night. So he had a hood on and a beanie on.
He's 6'6".
Yeah.
He's a bigger man.
Like, here's the
thing.
And
he's got a distinct face.
Oh.
It's not like he blends.
Like,
that's interesting.
Did people honestly think it was Napoleon Dynamite? And they were like, oh, no, we don't want his
arm. I was walking down Broad that night. I must have just missed him. Damn.
Nick, we're sorry. We were all really drunk. You probably noticed. Like, I thought about that. And there are athletes that would sit right next to you and you would have no idea.
Yeah.
Or like, imagine people that, like, aren't baseball fans or aren't basketball fans. And that average Joe-looking guy could sit right next to him and be totally lost on them. Who's sitting next to them at the bar?
I had the worst experience of that.
Oh, okay. All right, let's hit this break.
The worst.
You tell me that story.
I had a real random one on honeymoon.
Tell us this story. I know of your most random.
I'm still mad at myself.
But you recognize the person, and then they threaten to kill you, Joey Porter. But anyway.
Yeah. And he totally could kill me. If he wanted to.
No counter. All right, we'll get that story when we return here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.